Therapy can help, but sometimes it isn't the whole answer. Talkiatry gives you access to real psychiatric care with licensed clinicians who can diagnose and prescribe medication if it's right for you. It's a simple way to get effective treatment right from home. Talkiatry is a 100% online psychiatric practice. Unlike therapy apps, Talkiatry is psychiatry, and they provide comprehensive evaluations, diagnosis, and ongoing medication management for conditions like ADHD, anxiety, and more. All of their 600-plus clinicians are in-network with major insurers, so you can use your existing insurance instead of paying monthly subscriptions or out-of-network fees. You'll meet with an experienced, licensed psychiatrist who takes the time to understand what's going on, builds a personalized treatment plan, and can prescribe medication when it's right for you. Your care stays consistent and evidence-based. Getting started with Talkiatry takes just a few minutes. Complete a short online assessment, get matched with clinicians who fit your needs, and schedule your first visit in days, not months. Head to talkiatry.com/homemakerchic and complete the short assessment to get matched with an in-network psychiatrist in just a few minutes. That's talkiatry.com/homemakerchic to get matched in minutes.
It's season 18 of Homemaker Chic podcast. This season, we are doing it for the people. The holidays are coming and we're doing it for the people. I want you to join us over on Patreon, patreon.com/homemakerchicpodcast. Support the show at $1, $5, or $10 a month. At that top fangirl level, you'll have access to the full video versions of the show. Lots of fun. We love you. Now let's rock this next episode. Welcome to Homemaker Chic Podcast, ladies and gentle man, wherever you are out there. Frank, we love
Eric.
You. Eric, Tom. This is Homemaker Chic Podcast. I am Angela Reed of RegionFarmGirl.com. My co-host is Shay Elliott, and my very best girlfriend of the ElliottHomestead.com. 2,000 miles away. It's been a really long time since we've seen each other, so feel lots of sorry for us. We are looking at each other on Zoom. If you're on Patreon, we are looking at you on Zoom/Patreon right now. And what we're doing is we're here with red lips, both of us today. No denim jumpers. We are rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind. And this is the season where so many homemakers want to go the extra mile. We can't help ourselves. We want to. Some of us are a little burned out by going the extra mile year after year at this time of year. And so our season theme this season, season 18, is do it for the people. And that's what we're talking about. We're looking at everything from our wardrobes to making food. And we're just going to talk about serving the people and staying sane and not a martyr in the meantime, because it's not about just bleeding out on this altar of being a homemaker. It's about the condition of our heart and doing it with joy and the reality that sometimes it really does suck. And we have to just keep it. We have to embrace the suck, as Shay would say. So
she's that was cringing. A heck of an
she's
intro.
Like, did I say that?
No, I'm just like, well done. Yes, well you do have done. To embrace the suck.
The end. Sometimes the suck is dried pine needles and a tree that needs watering all the time. And
yep. Well, it's funny. I texted Angela this morning and I said, what do you want to talk about? And I was feeling kind of together and ambitious at this point. And Angela's like, how about surviving?
I said, how about entertainment? Oh. Not entertaining. Like, how about? Oh, yeah. No, that was my joke. You're right. I did. I was like, let's talk just about surviving.
Yes, let's talk about surviving.
Because I'm always two hours ahead of you. Yep. So I always get sideswiped 2 hours before you do.
Right. Two hours later, I was like, yes, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that. Because it's one of those days. In fact, before we came in here to record, I looked around at Stuart and I said, I have been working all day. I have used up all of my energy and every single thing in this house needs to be done. Like there wasn't a place for my eye to go and be like, okay, but that's okay. It's all right. Look, the kitchen's clean. You're going to be fine.
It's so funny you say that because that's what I say to Joel. I say, there's nowhere for my eye to land. And go, good job. Good job.
Yep.
If you know what, it's like follow the bouncing ball. Like you're watching Thomas the Tank Engine. mama's crashing, the little ball on the words. And if your eye, my eye goes like boing, boing, boing around the house. And if I ever find a pocket that looks beautiful, that's why silly things like a lovely new tea towel or a hand towel in the bathroom or a bouquet of flowers or a lit candle, because your eye can just land there and go, take a hot minute.
Yeah, at least there's that.
At least there's that. But it is a little unnerving when you're following the bouncing ball and there's no peace. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Speaking of no peace.
Oh, what sort of terrible segue. This is
season
18
of Homemaker Chic. Is sponsored by World Watch News. We pine for world peace. We do. But as we're understanding the events of the world, we invite you to visit worldwatch.news. This is news for students that's produced by Christian journalists. So you can go in, see the headlines. Every weekday they produce a 10 to 13 minute overview of what's going on in the world. They cover a huge range of relevant worldview topics and school subjects. And if you use the code HomemakersChic, go to worldwatch.news, you can get an entire month for free. That's what, 5, 10, 20 free episodes that you can watch. So this is an opportunity for those of us who have children, or frankly, those of us who need to temper what's going on in the world so it can come through a way of like proper news literacy, right? Mm-hmm. And not just dumpster fire that's all over the news these days. Biblical discernment, they make it fun. They do a really good job of presenting the world topics, and you get to tour the world in 10 minutes every weekday.
That's great. It's great. And I know a lot of people are still like really married to their news source. A lot of people, they've been getting their news from a certain place. They love it. But I know that you have that thought, like, is there another idea?
Yeah.
Is there another vantage point I could look at this from? And so I invite you to do that for a month. Just bring in another, like, the more ideas, the better.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So they bring in another vantage point for a month and just see what you think.
Yep. Yeah. They do a really good little, you know, sometimes teachers use this in their classroom. Of course, parents mm-hmm. present this to their children. Like I said, some people just use it for themselves, even if they don't have children. But on their website, they talk about kind of what they see in people who bring in news from this source. And I think it's really good. A sparked wonder at how God made the world, increased compassion and curiosity of the world, logical conversations with adults and students about world happenings, boosted confidence in and awareness of current events, and thoughtful prayers for the people behind the headlines. Imagine that. You're not just complaining, you're actually doing the work of praying for the people that you see. It's a great, great opportunity. So, worldwatch.news, code HomemakersChic for an entire month for free.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to give a plug.
Okay.
Oh, here comes my 18-year-old. Hold on. Golly, I need a red light outside my... Yes? Gal. They don't talk to you that much when they're that age. When you hear, hey, mom, you're like, your heart quickens. I went to see Napoleon, and I'm just going to tell all of you on the fence, if you've been wanting to see it, go see it. Do not listen to the reviews. I'm really sad that it's not, excuse me, I'm really sad that it's not getting a lot of play. Like, it's not really gaining any steam, and that's too bad. It's Joaquin Phoenix as Napoleon. Amazing. It's a what's-his-name film. Master and Commander, A Good Year. What's his name?
Ridley Scott.
Ridley Scott film. Amazing. The soundtrack is out of this world. A few times, like, I had to like scoop my jaw up the way the music was timed with what you were watching. It was beautiful. And if you're a Francophile or at all a history nerd, I would go see it. Napoleon was a little weird, and
wasn't Napoleon Joaquin was Phoenix from Corsica, nails it. Wasn't he?
He was from
Corsica.
Corsica. Yeah. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Alba, like the island he was exiled to. Yeah.
Is that right? That's right. Okay. Yeah. Here's another plug. I just listened, and I should remember where Napoleon is from, because there's a great podcast called The Rest is History. I've talked about it on this show before.
Oh my gosh, Shay, I love it. You got me hooked on them. I listened to the fashion one. I nerded it out.
It's the best.
On it's that the best podcast, podcast. The last time. See, we're going to talk about entertainment today, because it is like,
okay. No, I'm
you know,
serious.
Dark at 2 o'clock. You need some entertainment.
I appreciate all of you who listen to Homemaker Chic, but being on this side of the microphone and producing this type of a podcast, mm-hmm. When I plug in, I can't listen to anything like this, because to me, it's work. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I have to go into la la land to actually put my mind at rest. And it makes me sad. Like, I can't go to YouTube to relax. I can't go to Instagram to relax. I can't listen to like homemaking fun.
I don't listen to anything homemaking
to relax. Because it's all work to me.
Yep.
And I know all these people, and it's all connected. Mm-hmm. So I have to go far, far away. And the Rest is History podcast is my little corner of the world where I go and I'm listening to the JFK assassination, the four-part JFK assassination. They did one on Martin Luther King. I mean, these guys kill it.
So wait, you that was a hard, like, did they do Napoleon?
They did Napoleon.
Okay.
They did Napoleon. And okay. I'm like, Napoleon's Italian? Like, it's confusing how he was like born in Corsica and then he schools up in France, but he's Corsican. So like they don't accept him. And it's like this weird, did they go into that in the movie at all?
No.
Okay.
No, they didn't.
He has a really interesting childhood education history that they go into in Napoleon's podcast.
Okay. No, they kind of start right at his, like, maybe not early military career, but like right before it kind of crescendos.
Okay.
And truth be told, I got Mexican carry out and snuck it into the theater.
Oh my gosh. How do you do that?
Oh, I got skills, man. Like, we brought a full meal.
Are you
meal
a double in- D, or is that an enchilada?
Is that an enchilada, or are you just happy to see me? I just, Shay's gone. She's doubled over. We snuck a Mexican in, like a full meal. And so we missed like the first 10 seconds. So we're like running in like,
Oh my gosh.
So it just sort of starts like right when he's about to, it's incredible. I think one of the things I really, really enjoyed the movie, and a lot of people, I'd like to talk to other people that have seen it, because I, like I said, I'm sad that it's not getting the traction. Some of his Ridley Scott's
that.
Movies
Why
don't
that?
Do that. I don't know, like Robin Hood, Ridley Scott's Robin Hood is amazing. It's a great movie with Russell Crowe, like 10 years ago or whatever. I don't know. What was I saying?
I don't think he's probably a particularly nice guy in person, but man, Russell Crowe's a great actor. I could watch him all day.
Yeah, could he just like come back? Could he just go get buff and everything? He looks, he's just gone down the tank health-wise. He looks very unhealthy, let me just say.
Sad.
Shoot, I was going to say something about Napoleon. Oh,
okay.
History nerd. There are some scenes where you are just, they've never been done in movies before. The Battle of Austerlitz has never been done like that before. It's incredible. When he's in Egypt and discovering mummies and things like that, like you don't often get to see Egypt and the pyramids, like for real. And I'm not talking like some 1950s Ten Commandments movie. I mean like really well done. You just feel like you're there, and it made me giddy. There were a few scenes where I just thought, oh, can we have more of these kind of movies? More of these kind of scenes in movies where he blows the dust off a mummy's face at one point. You're like, this is so awesome. It's really good. It's really good.
Do you know when I'm left on my own? Okay, imagine Shay's family is far, far away, but she has a laptop.
Once a year.
Okay. I will watch one of two things. I will watch one of four things. I will watch A Good Year, Ridley Scott,
A Good
and
Year.
Russell Crowe.
Yeah. Duh.
I will watch You've Got Mail. I will watch any show, no matter how poor it's done, on Sharks. Or, and this is my favorite, I will watch any show on Egypt that has ever been made, ever.
Curse of the Mummy.
Devour.
Da, da, da.
No,
whatever,
I don't mean
history,
like fiction,
trashy.
Like any National
Anything.
Geographic, Untombing the Pyramid's Secrets. I am there for it. Like Stuart has said, if you weren't who you are, you would have been an Egyptologist.
I would be out like dusting crap off of.
I would be out
for
dusting
sure.
Crap.
Yep.
I
absolutely.
Love it.
Do you want a recommendation for the winter?
Yes,
your earbuds?
I do. Yes,
a book
I do.
Recommendation?
No, I can't there take is... a book recommendation. Do you know why?
No.
Because I've been reading. I have been really proud. And I already got a book recommendation. And I swore I would do it. And it is The Count of Monte Cristo. And it is 1,100 pages long. I will be reading it until I am 40.
That's such an excellent story. I'm so proud of
it. I know.
Shay.
And Jennifer Scott's reading it with me. She was really sweet. She sent me this bookmark. Hi, Jennifer. Sent me this bookmark of pressed flowers that she had made.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, I tucked it right into The Count of Monte Cristo. I'm on page 50, by the way. And she goes, I've always wanted to read that.
Screwed.
And I was like, let's go, girl. It won't take too long to catch up. The first 50
pages. You only read one book at a time?
I am only reading one book at a time. I am being so disciplined. And you know what? I'm knocking them down like flies. I have turned myself into a reader. And if you are part of this podcast,
like over
you know,
the last
like
year and a half. Yeah.
Yeah. I turned myself into somebody who lifts weights. Like, I'm strong now and I can lift really heavy things. And that happened during the course of this podcast. And also in the course of this podcast, I have turned myself into a reader. And I'm really proud of that. So I'm going to read The Count of Monte Cristo. And then you know what's after that? Dante's Inferno. Stu teaches
really?
Dante. And Georgia just read
like
Dante.
120-year-old copy of it, and it's falling apart, like legit falling apart. People have probably seen it like in my YouTube videos, just like precariously in between other old books. I grabbed it the other day. I'm like, this thing is moth-ridden and crumbling. I said to the girls, I'm like, should I get rid of this piece of junk? They're like, no. Like, you can barely even see that it's Dante anymore.
Yeah. Well, Georgia's reading it this year for one of her classes, so over breakfast, her and Stuart will have these incredible talks on Dante and the levels of hell and this and that. And I feel so left out. I feel so left out. I never read Dante. But like, this is still an ongoing conversation. And sorry, I'm derailing. We'll go back to your recommendation in a second. But I think this
That's
is
okay,
one of the
really
neat parts.
Because I wanted to talk about entertainment. I think it's great.
About classical literature. It's like when Stuart explained this to me, I wasn't classically educated. And he explained
most
it to me
of us
when we were
Shay, but
I know when we were going
we might have
over
been attracted to classical things, but most of us weren't classically educated.
Right, right. The idea is that you are joining into the conversation that's been going on for as long as people have been people. Who are we? Where are we from? What's the point? And people have wrestled with these topics. Dante wrestled with these topics. You know, there's great literature that's written. And when you read it, you get to participate in that conversation with people across centuries. And I love that idea. Like people were reading Dante hundreds of years ago. And Dante is so, it's such a cool story because he was from Florence. He loved Florence. He was exiled from Florence for his work. And just maybe it was last year, they lifted his ban. As like some sort of grand symbolic gesture, you know, 600 years later or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Isn't that
gee,
crazy?
Thanks.
Yeah, gee, thanks. He died in exile. Anyway, so I've got The Count of Monte Cristo. I've got Dante. And then I will read whatever you recommend.
Oh, this is just, this isn't like a trashy beach read, which is what I call like paperbacks that women read on the beach in the summer. But it's just like modern fiction, I guess it's called. So there's this guy. I discovered him, I don't know, 20 years ago or whatever. His name's Wilbur Smith. I think I've read almost all of his books. I suppose they're like more of a man's book, the way they're written. You know, I mean, written by a man, obviously. They're not romance novels by any sense of the mean or anything fluffy like that. But what sort of started me on this journey to finding him was we had, when I was in high school, we had really good friends that are Assyrians, that were Assyrians. So Assyrians are Christian Iraqis, and there's like not very many of them left in Iraq these days. And I remember, I'll never forget, like their home, it was decorated like so cool, so Middle Eastern. And they had this really incredible bronze, like bas relief of the husband's sister. And she had been killed by Saddam Hussein. And they had left Iraq to come to America. Like if he stepped foot in Iraq again, he would have been killed. Like it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And so they had this bas relief of her and she was like in military, whatever uniform. And they lent me this book called The Assyrian. Amazing. And so it's really kind of like diving into, you know, the pagan side of the culture, like in the book of Daniel, you know, like that part of the Bible. This book is incredible. It's like this thick. Nicholas Guild, I think it's out of print. You probably can find it. It's called The Assyrian. It's excellent. It's an epic.
Okay.
It's an epic story.
Oh, fun. Okay. I'm going to write this down.
Yeah. So it's called The Assyrian and it really gives you like the backstory as a Christian, you understand like what Jonah was, why Jonah didn't want to go.
He was like, I'm not going to Nineveh.
He's like, oh, heck no. These people are gross. They are mean and nasty and they are violent. They are, ugh. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so the Assyrian is, you know, Nebuchadnezzar and what's the other guy's name in the Bible? Ash, there's another A-S-H. You'd know it if I said it. And then they borrowed me this book called...
This book?
Yeah. How Midwestern of me.
That's not a thing.
Something Nineveh. And so it's more of an archaeological book, and it's about the discovery of Nineveh. I think it was a British archaeologist, and he was on the train between the Tigris and the Euphrates or whatever, and kept seeing like these mounds, and he actually discovered the ancient city of Nineveh. So I got like turned on. I love history. That was my favorite part of growing up. I went to homeschool, private school and public school. And when I was homeschooled, I like really dove into like Mesopotamia and all the beginnings of like the Fertile Crescent and all that. And I just nerded out, loved Egypt, love all that. So I got you there. But so they kind of turned me on to these epic stories of ancient times. And that's sort of how I discovered Wilbur Smith, because I was at the library when we first got married and I was trying to find more of the like. So Wilbur Smith wrote this fabulous, sick book, just great, called River God. And it's written so real that you think it's real. I mean, like he opens up saying like this story was discovered in an alabaster vase in a tomb. And like I nerded out. It was right when the internet was like coming. I'm like, is this a real story? You know, but he wrote River God and then he wrote like a modern part two where they go back and then dig up everything that he references in River God called the Seventh Scroll. Check it out. Wilbur Smith, River God, the Seventh Scroll. Like just so good. And then as a believer, again, with like the Nineveh and the Assyrian and the Egypt, like you're making all these connections. They're talking about like the Hittites. I mean, I don't think even modern like secular culture acknowledged the Hittites for a long, long time until like in the last 100 years when things were discovered. I mean, it's just, I'm sorry, I'm a history nerd. I'm nerding out on everybody right now. Sorry.
Why don't you send me a box of those books and let me borrow them for the winter?
Yeah. Well, I just have little paperbacks. I've read them so many times. They're like falling apart. But yeah. Okay.
Okay. Jeez.
You're listening to Homemaker Chic Podcast. I'm Angela.
I'm Shay.
And we are rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind
with red lips and no denim jumpers.
Toops & Co. is your beauty source for being homemaker chic. So remember this code, FALLBEAUTY. one word, Fall Beauty, for 10% off gorgeous designer quality makeup from Tubes & Co. You don't have to sacrifice quality to use cosmetics that are free from hormone-disrupting chemicals, parabens, preservatives, and more. Mineral makeup, liquid foundations, a face primer to swoon over. This company has been created by our friend Emily, and she has taken the time to create quality makeup with ingredients that you can feel good about. Makeup, skincare, she's taking it to an entirely new level. I want you to try the red wine lipstick, the long lash mascara, the cream cheek tint. There are makeup brushes and even sample sets for you. So visit Tubes, that's T-O-U-P-S, tubesandco.com, and use the code FALLBEAUTY at checkout for 10% off, or simply visit the Homemaker Chic podcast page on Instagram and click that red button that says beauty.
If you are looking for quality kitchen products that are ethically sourced and in your price range, Angela and I invite you to visit Kooi Housewares, that's K-O-O-I, housewares.com/homemakerchic, and use code BLESSED10. This is a wonderful family-run business that was created over 10 years ago to offer high-quality products to us homemakers that are designed to last and benefit our homes, especially our kitchens. So often we can spend our money on the wrong products, products that don't stand up to the workload. Kooi Housewares has put the hard work in of finding products that are high quality, name brand, and products that are fully backed by manufacturer's warranties. They make it easy to shop everything from cake decorating supplies to canning supplies. While you're shopping Kooi Housewares, be sure to check out the superb canning lids. If you didn't think a canning lid could get better than it is, you've never tried superb lids. They seal beautifully because of a thicker rubber seal, and they don't ever rust because of 5 layers of corrosion prevention. And they're made in the USA. Visit KooiHousewares.com/homemakerchic, use code BLESS10, and enjoy shopping around this wonderful store.
Here we are, that season where we tuck into our homes and make them cozy and comfortable for ourselves and the people we love. Tuck in with American Blossom Linens and receive 20% off your purchase of bedding, sheets, pillows, towels, and more. American Blossom Linens are American grown and made cotton products that are woven to last a lifetime. That's right. These beautiful products are grown, spun, and woven in the USA. As a Homemaker Chic listener, you've heard us share our thoughts on the concept of better, not more. And so we're right here with you, dressing our homes in American Blossom's finest quality products. And as your home economist, you can enjoy 20% off with the exclusive coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20. With a 2-year return policy, made in the USA, and free shipping, you cannot go wrong. Visit American Blossom Linens today. Duvet covers, sheets, towels, pillows, inserts, and more. AmericanBlossomLinens.com with the coupon code HOMEMAKERCHIC20 at checkout.
I want you to visit hotrugs.net if you're tired of throwing your money away on cheap rugs that don't survive your lifestyle. You wash them, they start curling up on the ends. They just don't have that designer look that you want. Why not dress your home in a hand-woven rug from House of Tokeman? I want you to look at your home. Where does it need some style infusion? Nothing is as timeless as a Persian rug. And now you can use the coupon code HOLIDAYHOMEMAKER20. For 20% off one of these beautiful pieces. Here's a designer tip. Give your home an instant professionally designed look when you add a Persian rug. So you know you got to go to House of Tokeman and check them out over on Instagram because she's always updating her feed with new rugs. And then use the exclusive code HOLIDAYHOMEMAKER20 for 20% off this investment into the fabulous style of your home. You're guaranteed a one-of-a-kind rug, no fake antique rugs, no machine-made or copy replicas sold here. House of Tokeman can be found at hotrugs.net. That's hotrugs.net. And use that coupon code, HOLIDAYHOMEMAKER20.
So, and I will send you one that I just finished that I think you will really like, called Paris in the Present Tense. Again, ooh, you put it really well. Mark Halperin, he wrote A Winter's Tale, which is he's most known for. This is he's lesser known for this one. It is written by a man. It sort of feels like it's for a man. Incredible. I had to keep telling myself when I was reading it to slow down, because he's incredibly eloquent with his words, and you're meant to sort of devour them slowly. You know, it'll be a scene where somebody's walking on the sidewalk and it's a paragraph on the color of the sky, and like You actually have to slow your modern mind down to read all of the words because they're all there for a reason. But you would probably really enjoy it because the entire thing is set in Paris and it's this neighborhood and this and this and this. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I do.
And even still,
that sounds great.
It's a book on just sacrificial love and hope. And it was really good. Really enjoyed it.
Cool.
So a few book recommendations for you all.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what is the history podcast called again?
I'm making the rest is history.
The rest is history.
So go listen to the JFK one. Have you listened to it?
No, I haven't. But do I need to like coordinate that with anything else, like with Rogan and what's his name? Who's the movie director that Rogan has on that's doing a ton of research about JFK?
No. Just listen to this. One of the things I didn't realize about JFK is that he was an incredibly sickly man. He had scarlet fever.
Like his back was like opened up and
collapsing. His spine was collapsing.
Doing things for his. Oh, yeah. He was sick.
He had all the venereal diseases.
Oh, yeah.
Just all of them. Just chronic BD.
Oh, boy.
Sorry, Marilyn, amongst others. It was fascinating. And then, you know, he was on this ship in World War II that was hit by a Japanese destroyer, splits the ship in half. It goes down and he literally drags a wounded man 4 hours of swimming in the open ocean to an island. And he's dragging this man on an inner tube with his teeth and no spine. As it were. I mean, it's just a really incredible story.
And I think a lot of people, like, they don't. Yes. No, I'm locked. You can wait. Sorry. A lot of people don't even know that. Like, it's called Profile. He wrote a book, Profiles in Courage. He wrote a book about that experience, I think.
Don't know.
Yeah. And like, they just don't know. They don't know that he was sick. They don't know that his back was like just jacked up.
He was
up.
Sick. Yeah.
Fun intended. He was just sickly. Yeah. And very manipulated by his dad. And
yeah.
Yeah.
He had another disease that I can't remember the name of, but it was like a name, like a person's name, but it basically gave him he couldn't ward off any infection. And anyway, it's fascinating. And I haven't even gotten to the assassination yet. Like,
yeah,
it's just so fun. So great content for sure.
All that to say is when you told me about them a few months ago, I just had so much fun. I listened to the two fashion
in the London in the 60s.
And that was so fun because, again, nerd, when Cruella DeVille, the Disney movie, came out a few years ago, I was so excited because they really took such a great, they paid an homage to like the whole London fashion scene. I loved what they did with that. And those guys are so knowledgeable about the flipping London fashion scene, like right around the era of the invention of the miniskirt and Twiggy, and their insight into fashion. I was driving on an 8-hour trip and I was giddy. I was like elated.
I knew you would
just
be
listening to them. Loved it.
So fun. I've listened to the Library of Alexandria. I mean, that was
excellent. The Library of Alexandria was an excellent episode.
We should have them on.
We should. Okay, this is
let's
my
talk about the history of homemaking. On the Rest is History podcast.
Hello. This is my platform on history. I think that when you read and you expose yourself to history, not just maybe your particular thing, like if you love the Civil War, but then if you expose yourself to Egyptology and even the history of fashion and Napoleon and whatever, you know, when you watch like a spy movie or something, or a a detective movie and they have that big wall of things up and they have all the push pins and they're connecting all the, you know what I mean, where they take all the push pins and the string and they try to connect everything. That's what starts to happen to you as you read more and take in more history, like reading and history. You start to be able to connect the dots. You hear something, whether it's an artistic technique that somebody just references in a book, in a very descriptive book, like what you were saying, or it's like a period of history, or it's a cut of a dress. Your mind expands and you can start connecting the dots and the world just becomes so much more interesting. If you think the world has become boring and mundane and dull and beige, like, read more and take in more history.
I remember telling Stu one time, who is, again, going back to classical education, that I notice people, not this, I'm painting with broad strokes, but people who have a classical education have the ability to sort of, like, suck back up. Imagine, like, there's a room filled with things, okay? And we're just in it and we can't see it all. Like, Stuart has this ability to, like, come away and get a bird's eye perspective of things. Like, like you were saying, he can see where I'm just flapping around. He has the ability to, like, remove himself from the situation and understand that whole big map that you were talking about on the wall and see how it's all connected and see, oh, yeah, and this is, like, this conversation that's been going on since the 400s. And you see some of that in church history where – you see modern churches wrestling with things that people have wrestled with before and actually dealt with. And it blows my mind that, you know, there are creeds and confessions that are no longer used in Christian churches. And you think people thought about these, like people died for these things. Like, for example, was Christ the actual Son of God? Was he fully God? And was he fully man? Okay. Now we can just take that answer for granted because it's in our creeds and confessions that he is fully God and he is fully man. They had to come to that. Like, there was lively debate and, you know, spirited thought and heretical statements and burnings at the stake. Like, these were things that people wrestled with. And when we don't study them, we literally throw away thousands of years of work and thought and progress.
Yes. Yes.
It's a bizarre thing to do and think, oh, if there was only an answer for this question. Oh, wait.
Yeah. And like, I might not say this correctly. Okay. So don't. But it's almost narcissistic in that people are so in the here and now. And like, this is our immediate culture and this is what I immediately know. And I have these questions and not being willing to do the due diligence or to
it's hard. Like,
it's all but like
it's easy to be narcissistic and just think in the here and now. It's a lot harder to have like actually studied and thought about these things in any kind of a real way.
But I guess, and again, I'm not going to say this very delicately, but like, how dare we think we were the first generation or culture to have these thoughts?
Of course.
Like, they've been thought out and fleshed out and toiled over and lives given for so long. Yes. Like, let's look back.
Yes. Yes.
You know,
listen, any emotion that you have that you think, go read the Psalms.
Right.
I mean, what human emotion would you like?
Right.
It's, you know, are you sad? You think things are just really, really, really bad? Go read Job.
Mm-hmm.
Go read the Proverbs. I mean, or go read Ecclesiastes. There is nothing.
I was just
going to
say, feeling homemaker, feeling like you're.
There is nothing new under the sun. And to me, that's really good news. Like, we don't have to do the heavy lifting. In so many ways, which is that's great news. You know, we have the answers in so many things, and we can gain perspective and stand on the shoulders of people who have gone before us who have thought about these things.
Yeah, that's a great way.
Yeah,
that's great.
And when you
great way to say it.
When you study history, you get to appreciate those things. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Okay, here's something that maybe you can help me with. We're talking about entertainment. I'm already anticipating winter. You guys know me. Not my best performance, winter. So I'm trying to think ahead to a few fun things that I would like to do just to have things on the calendar. And you know how Spotify will give you your end of year roundup for what you listen to? Mm-hmm. Turns out I'm in the top 0.5% of Madeline Peru fans. Which makes sense.
Wow.
Shawn Mendes was number two, so lest you think I'm highbrow, I am not. And number three was this really great Portland band who I love called Pink Martini. Love Pink
Have
Martini.
Have you ever seen them in concert?
They're coming Have here in them? January. That's what I'm saying. They're Have coming to like my them? Little town. No.
Shay, you have to go.
I am going.
There's.
That's what I'm saying.
Did you get tickets?
Yes.
Oh, this is what I'm so saying. Glad. Shay, they're so good in concert.
Yes.
They're so
I'm
good.
I'm really excited. It's at the end of January. So I'm like, I have all of January to look forward to going. Isn't that going to be
so
fun?
So if you are unfamiliar with Pink Martini, they are this sort of fusion between orchestra and standards. So the vocalist is really talented. I mean, she's, you know, soprano. It's just like this perfect melange.
How many members are there? Like 15?
Yeah. I think I've seen them a couple times, but I think the most recent was probably like 12 years ago. Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
They are so good. I'm so excited for you. Yay.
I am really excited too. And I'm going to take Georgia, which is really exciting. So it's just going to be fun. So I'm trying to put a few small, like thoughtful things on the calendar for entertainment. Just a little nugget to kind of keep you going. Mm-hmm. I don't have anything for February yet, so if anyone has any suggestions, again, not my best performance typically in February. So that's what I got so far. What do you got? Well, music. That's what I was getting at. What music are you listening to? I need some new stuff.
You know me. I don't listen to I'm going to Google something here and see. I don't listen to new music. I listen to the same crap a lot.
Me too.
Yeah, tell me this isn't sold out yet. I have a funny story about something I want to go to. I listen to the same stuff all the time. I mean, if right now I'm on Christmas, like I'm a Buddy the Elf. I'm all Christmas. And the bugger is, a year ago today, or maybe it was a couple days ago, we went and saw Harry Connick in concert in Milwaukee. And that was like my life changing event. Like that was a game changer. And now we're like all mad because he's doing the same tour in Australia. And please come home. I actually got choked up the other day because I was listening to him. He sings this song called When My Heart Finds Christmas. And it's just one of my all-time favorite Christmas songs, him singing it. And when he sang it at the concert, like I grabbed Amelie's hand and I just started sobbing because I have been listening to this song for years. And we were like third row and he was singing it to us, you know. And I'm just like, it's not hardly Christmas without Harry Connick, without a Harry Connick concert. And at the same time, that memory of hearing that song sung live music. I cannot say enough about live music. Whatever you have to do to configure your life so that you and your family are regularly exposed to live music, whether it's the free concert at the Episcopal Church, I don't care. Go find an organ concert, a strings concert, a piano, somebody playing live piano. in a hotel lobby. Who cares? Go listen to live music. That's one of my most favorite memories of my whole life. And I met Princess Diana. So for me to say that is a big deal. But hearing him sing that song was like, it was unbelievable. And I had the memory of it just come washing over me the other day when I was decorating for Christmas because the song started playing. And so all that to say is I listened to a lot of Harry Connick Christmas, but he has one album, his most recent Christmas album, which is only Apple. It's like an Apple exclusive. And sadly, it's worth it. It's a good album. But I just listened to a lot of Charlie Brown Christmas and Harry Connick and Ella at Christmas time.
Yeah, Ella Fitzgerald's on my rotation. And yeah. I mean, I feel like maybe this is our generational difference showing, but I do Michael Bublé. That's my Christmas album of choice. That is my Christmas poison on repeat over and over and over again. I love him.
Yeah. I know you do. I like him, but he's no Harry Connick.
Michael Bublé.
Okay, so speaking of entertainment,
okay,
you know how much I love the movie Christmas Vacation.
Yes.
It's kind of sick and disturbing. At the same place where we saw Harry Connick last year, Chevy Chase and his wife are coming. They're going to do a live screening of the movie and then a live Q&A with Clark W. Griswold. And I really think I need to go.
Sure.
My husband's like, absolutely not. It's like 3 hours away.
No, like, you know what? Does this?
But this is a big
deal.
Is this
what old people do? Because I feel like my grandpa, you know, he was always. What?
Are you calling me old?
I'm calling myself old too. Like,
okay.
My grandpa used to always buy tickets. Our little high school here will put on a play every Apple Blossom Festival. And he would always buy my whole family tickets. We couldn't afford to do something like that. And he would buy, you know, 13 tickets and we'd all go and fill the row. And it would be, you know, the Music Man or Hello Dolly or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you go and you think, oh, grandpa, this is going to be silly. And then you like enjoy it. Like, even the high school production.
Because live performances are amazing.
Live performances. There is something about it. Stuart and his brother, they play, when Jeremy's in town, he'll play a blues night. So it's Monday night, a bunch of blues musicians, local brewery, and people will just get up and do a half an hour set. You never know who you're going to play with. You just, okay, there's a bassist, there's a guitarist, there's a drummer, there's a singer. And so it's always just kind of patched together. And they went and did that the other night. And I had to take the kids to jujitsu, came home. And I was like, you know what? They're going to be another hour. I'll get the kids settled and I'll just pop down there. So I did. And I popped up and I sat at the bar by myself because they were up playing guitars. Loved it.
Good for you.
Just loved it. I just sat there and had my cider and watched them play. And it was just joyful. It is. It's live performances. It could be poetry reciting. It could be a play. It could be music. And our community has a lot of those things. And we haven't really participated in them as well as we should have. And now that the kids are a little bit older, they can participate in it. And I guess my spirit's getting a little older because it's like, I think I want to go see a play. Is there a play around
here? Okay, Henry Fonda. Okay. That's funny. It sounds silly, but I do think that that's, maybe it's like a, we take our, the younger kids stay home and we go out with the older kids. So because we're in a vacation community, we have so much live music here. I mean, you can actually, depending on where you stand, you'll hear it coming from, like my friend's backyard, you can hear three different venues coming into her backyard. But I love it. I mean, we'll go. It'll be like 8:30 at night. Hey, you want to go into town? Yeah. Cherry Tones are playing. Okay, let's go. You know, like, and it is, there is something about it that we've just, I don't know, lost because we live in this amazing time where we can push play.
Yeah.
And for the millennia, that wasn't an option. If you wanted to hear a story told, somebody had to memorize it and tell it around a campfire, or actually learn to play the violin.
I was just going to say, somebody better have a fiddle.
Across the wagon trail.
Because that's the only way
you're
having
music. Somebody
better
have a fiddle. You know, yeah. And so it's actually really, really a beautiful, like, we need to remember mm-hmm. how decadent it is that we can just turn on Spotify and play music. Mm-hmm. That's unbelievable.
It can also take away, don't you think, some of the...
As beautiful that as that is, it's kind of desensitized us to how special it is to have somebody play or sing for you. That's amazing.
Especially because we're getting the best of the best. You're listening to the best people in the world doing these things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so you really are, like, you're being just blasted with diamonds all the time. So I think it does really desensitize you to some of those things. Sorry, my
so just
children
even what,
just got
even what's
off.
Really involved in, like, a just a raw performance. That
totally.
It, totally. That a raw voice sounds different than a studio voice. That sounds different than that's the vocal thing they do. And, you know,
I might have told you this.
You know,
but...
I.
Go ahead.
Well, no, I mean, I just even love it when I'm listening to a jazz recording and you can tell they're all playing together.
Yes.
Like, obviously, because, you know, there's solos and stuff. And you're like, okay, this isn't like a pop band where each person goes into the studio one at a time and cuts their track. You know, I mean, there's just something about seeing somebody, you know, when we went to this jazz club in Paris and just like watching it, we like wormed our way to the front and it's like this little tiny room, like the size of my living room. And I was watching, like, the eye contact, like, what was going on. And I kept looking behind me, and I said to the girls, I'm like, I think they're going to invite somebody on stage. Something's going on. Like, I can see them kind of, like, nodding that somebody just walked in the room or whatever. And sure enough, like, they're leaning over, whispering. And this guy, like, legit pulls a trumpet out of his coat, gets up on stage, and they just
melt faces
at 2 a.m. Oh, my gosh. It was amazing. But, like, so when you get to – when you are there for live music, like, you're a part of that. Like, mm-hmm. your facial expression and your applause and maybe how close you are in proximity to the stage or whatever, like, you're a participant.
Yeah.
Not just a consumer.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's really cool.
That's a great way to put it.
Mm-hmm.
My children had their piano recital recently. All of our kids take piano. And we originally did it because our church sings from hymnals. Psalters. So you have to be able to read music. You need to be able to read your part if you're going to participate well. So I wanted them to read music. It's like learning a language. Just here's your notes. Here's your treble clef. Here's your bass clef. Here's what these little symbols mean. Anyway, right. So we went to their piano recital, and Georgia now has been playing for, oh my gosh, I don't know, 7 years maybe. And she's mm-hmm. one of the more advanced students, because you'll notice at these recitals, there'll be 40 kids in their first year. And then by the time it gets to upper school, I mean, there's
herd
two.
Fins.
There's two left, you know?
Yeah.
And I told her, like, it was really fun to get to see her play and get to see her develop in that way. And I just said, you are this close to just getting over that mountain of being able to play whatever you want. And being able to teach yourself whatever music you want. And once you cross that bridge, it's just fun. Like, you've done the work. And it made me realize, how often do we start things and it's work, 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 work. But it's so much work that we quit before we get to the point where we get to enjoy what all that work led to. Does that mm-hmm. make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Because it does reach a point, not that you ever stop necessarily laboring at it. Anytime she wants to learn a new mm-hmm. piece of music, she has to sit down and put in the work of learning it. But mm-hmm. like the foundation, the muscle memory, the lingo, like, that's in her now.
But you get to the point where it's like, where it is, it's snowballed. I mean, Amelie is like a classically trained concert pianist beyond her years. And we went to see Elvis when the Elvis movie came out, and it sort of opened her eyes to gospel, and she went down the rabbit trail of all these kind of very, very sub characters in the movie and discovered them. And that was the year then at the end of that year where I said, well, Harry Connick's my favorite person in the world. Want to go to this concert with me? And like, it's just snowballed. She's in advanced music theory at the local high school. She got accepted to like a really prestigious jazz camp last summer. So she plays piano, marimba, xylophone, drums,
bass,
guitar, right? Bass.
Yeah.
Upright bass. And just bought herself a clarinet, just came in the mail today. So she's she's 15 and she plays 8 instruments. I mean, she's already getting a sound out of the clarinet. She's had it 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And she can get sound out. So that's 8 instruments at 15 because she practices for hours a day.
Well, you know, she also just learned how to read music. So it's just the application.
Oh, yeah. She can read. Yeah. So it's like just snowballed. Now the ball is just going downhill and just gaining speed the whole time, you know.
And that's the exciting bit. And our kids also do jujitsu, all of them. And I've just told them, like, look, I don't expect you. They all love it right now. I don't expect them to love it forever. But I was like, you're going to get to the point of competency. Because you're going to be these little great homeschool kids who have read Dante, who play the piano, who are purple belts. Okay? You know what that makes you? A well-rounded person. Like, that makes you sturdy. That makes you interesting. Yeah. And you know what? By God's grace, I'm going to be able to take you to Italy a time or two. And so you're going to realize that you're actually really, really small. And your little culture is actually really, really small. And there's actually a lot of cool people out there and cool music and cool food and cool landscapes. And like, your world is not this big. You're going to be sturdy and you're going to, you know, be grateful for where you are and what culture you have and what religion you have and what family you have. But you're going to realize that you are a teeny, teeny, tiny little cog in a much larger wheel of the world. And you're going to be like a well-rounded, Lord willing, citizen of that world. And yeah, hopefully you'll be interesting.
Interesting to boot.
Speaking of being devoted to things.
Speaking of Italy.
Quite devoted to my dry farm wines, which you can try by visiting dryfarmwines.com/homemaker chic. If you're on Patreon and you see my red chest right now and my flushed face, I want you to know it's not because I'm drinking red wine right now. It's because I was wearing my alpaca sweater and it made me very hot.
Like, looking at you, I'm like, what the heck is going on?
I'm excited by this conversation and I shouldn't have worn wool. It was just too much.
Oh my gosh. Speaking of being flushed, you know, we do trivia here in the North Woods in the winter. And last night was the first night of trivia, and our team is called 221B Baker Street. That is Sherlock Holmes's address. And we won the first round of trivia.
What does that have to
Juliet,
do with mine?
Mary Kay. Hold on. Juliet, Mary Kay, and I dominated. We dominated a whole wine bar full of trivia teams. What that has to do with wine is because the whole time I was like, oh, I am either enjoying this way too much or because I was so flushed. And I look around at their thermostat and it's set on like 70, and we don't live at 70 degrees here in this house. And I was just like, I look like a beet.
That's what I feel like right
now. I'm having so much fun and it's so hot in here. I just, my face looked like your neck. So,
dryfarmwines.com/homemaker chic. These are your natural wines, so they're not going to cause a histamine response. They're not sprayed with anything. There's no additives. There's no sugar. There's no yeast. There's no stabilizers. There's no clarifiers. These are just natural, beautiful, pressed and fermented wines from all around the world. Dry Farms just finds these incredible organic and biodynamic farms. They bring the wine in a box to your doorstep. It's really, really simple. So they don't force these growers this way or that way. These are just small little growers, little boutique growers that they find who are doing exactly what they want. So they really do the legwork for you. They quality test every single batch. They do such an exceptional job. And this is the time. You have time now to get your order in before Christmas, which I would strongly encourage you to do, even if it's just three bottles of bubbly, give them a try. So you can do three bottles or six or nine or 12. You could do reds or whites or bubblies or rosés, or they also have orange wine on occasion, really wonderful orange wines. So you get to kind of customize it, pick out what you like, have it shipped to your doorstep. And if you use our link, that /homemaker chic, they'll give you an extra bottle in your order for just a penny.
Yes. And you don't even have to think about the wonky forward slash. Just go to Instagram and click wine on the red button.
Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Would like you to know that I have kind of busted out of my Seinfeld funk, which I have been in for quite a few years now, just rewatching Seinfeld episodes. And I am watching a new show called Elementary, Sherlock Holmes, a new take on Sherlock Holmes. So Sherlock gets into a little drug trouble in the UK. So he comes to New York to start afresh and go to rehab. We all know Sherlock has a cocaine problem. Lucy Liu plays Watson, which originally I was like, get out of here. It's actually really good. I call these gentle murder mysteries. Okay. The BBC does them really well, where it's like, it's not too harsh. Think like Father Brown. Okay. Rosemary and Thyme. Mm-hmm. They're like gentle murders. Like there's usually no blood involved. Do you know what I mean? No, you don't actually see anything. It's all just like, there's like a puff of smoke. And then all of a sudden someone's, oh no, they've collapsed on the floor. Anyway, I've been really thoroughly enjoying it. It's on Hulu. I don't know if you can watch it other places, but there's like 7 seasons and it's called Elementary and it's Sherlock Holmes and Watson. I mean, what's not to love? Who doesn't love Sherlock?
Yeah.
You would really like it.
I love him, obviously.
You would like it.
Now I'm like really, really, the Benedict Cumberbatch is like my favorite. So that's kind of my my litmus test for all things Sherlock.
Okay. I think you should just try
it. Will I still like it?
I really...
Did you watch that one?
I did. Yes, of course I did.
Okay. The whole thing?
Like, yes. And the guy who plays Watson in that, he was the one who was in The Hobbit, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What's his name? He was Bilbo. My kids, Stuart's reading my kids The Hobbit right now, and they just can't even take it. Every chapter, when he stops, you just hear this, oh, keep going. It's so darling. What a fun book. What is his name?
Martin
Terrible
Freeman.
Movie, by the way. Don't watch The Hobbit. Boo.
Yeah,
read
yeah.
Read the book.
No, Martin
read
Freeman.
Read the book. Okay. Just watch it. Yeah. It's good.
Okay. I tried to watch like the, what was the, Enola Holmes, like Netflix. Somebody has like a,
his
like
sister.
Sherlock's daughter or sister or something. No.
That's a little
her
bit
apartment
more for
was
teens.
Cool. Like her house was cool, but
yeah.
Yeah, no, it was kind of lame.
Yeah. No, just try it. Just try it.
Okay.
Okay. Real fast before we keep going on entertainment, maybe for entertainment purposes, you're going to clean your house. I like to do that. When I was painting
check
my ceiling
your
the other day.
Messages.
What?
Check
my text
your
messages.
Text messages.
I put my phone on silent because. What? Oh. Angela has to go to the bathroom. Can you
I'm
hurry?
Dying.
Can you hurry? So yes. And I'll do the assignment. I'll do the cleaning assignment while Angela goes to the We run a hard ship around here. Okay. I painted my kitchen ceiling recently. Maybe you guys saw that over on my Instagram. I told you I was going to do it. I did it. I painted it yellow and I'm really happy I did. And Stuart was saying, what is your problem? Why do you do this? Because for him, that's not relaxing. That's a ton of work. For me, I really enjoy it. And so it's pleasurable for me to clean. It's pleasurable for me to take care of ugly things in my house and turn them into something beautiful. And that's what we're doing with our cleaning assignment. So we're going through the complete book of home organization by Tony Hammersley, who runs A Bowl Full of Lemons. So Last week, we assessed our appliances and we sorted them by function. So we're still kind of working through our kitchen, working through our refrigerator. So I'm going to give you a few new assignments to take care of this week. And they're pretty small, so I'm going to give you a couple of them. The first one is to keep your favorite utensils handy. So I keep a crock of wooden spoons, spatulas, whisks, those sorts of things within arm's reach of where I prep my food the most. And I actually keep two. I keep a crock full of metal utensils, fish spatulas, whisks, and then I keep a second crock of wooden spoons because I just like the way it looks. So keep your favorite utensils handy where you will be able to access them the most. And then the next one is to stow your pots and pans. So I know pots and pans really, they really throw people in the kitchen for storage. I've got mine all, look at my burn, Angela. Look at this. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, that's nasty.
It's like a perfect oil splash. I keep my pots and pans above my oven, all lined up so I can grab them really easily. And then underneath one oven is cast iron, and then underneath another oven is stainless steel. How do you organize
yours?
Do
you have storage under both?
I do.
I just have storage under the one. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have all my copper above me. Mm-hmm. And just the way it's configured, if like the saucepan is short enough, it's on a hook. If it's not, or if it's a casserole dish or something, it's just sitting on the shelf because it's a big shelf. And then the stock pots or whatever go on the upper shelf. So all my copper's right there. I have a very sentimental, what was like top of the line in the 70s stainless steel set that was my grandma's. It has like the little burp. So like when the steam starts mm-hmm. to go, it makes like this very nostalgic sound to me. And I keep those all in another cabinet. And I have like, my grandma had all these like felt things in between each one, you know, like nice and fussy, which I love. And then right, my kitchen's not configured. Like my kitchen is just rigged up for now still. So then right around the corner from my stove, there's a closet with no door. And that's where my wine rack is and my KitchenAid mixer. And that's where I stack my cast iron. So on the bottom shelves of the wine rack is my cast iron. And if it's too big, then it's propped up against the wall. Mm-hmm. And again, like my kids are cooking, you know, half as much as I am. So it's just got to be where they can like grab it and do. Sadly, they use all my stuff. So it's got to be right there where they can get it. Unfortunately. So, and then I come out the next morning and my cast iron is just floating in salt water.
See,
I'm like,
that's the
great
thing. Like at this point in my career, again, running basically a cooking school from my little hobo kitchen.
Yeah.
I've invested in some really nice pieces from vintage copper to my stainless steel pans. Yeah. I'm pretty invested in that shiz staying cared for. Like, I can't afford to get it all.
I feel like I almost have them trained, right? I'm like, okay, look, I'm not seasoning this pan again. The whole point is like, don't make me start all over with steel wool and a hot oven, you know? But I did come out to like, but in all, like, it's not the end of the world. The one they did soak was just this mangy Walmart cast iron that's like actually like concave, convex in the middle. It's like not very well made at all. But at Deleron or E. Deleron or whatever it's called in Paris, I did buy new knives and I love them. I love them so much because I have a huge vintage knife collection. Juju keeps them sharp for me. I oil the handles, blah, blah, blah. Love them. But I've never had like new knives ever, aside from like some crappy set from Costco or whatever.
You're listening to Homemaker Chic Podcast. I'm Angela.
I'm Shay.
And we are rescuing the art of homemaking from the daily grind
with red lips and no denim jumpers.
Let's talk about shopping. Shopping online at the new Parisian Farm Girl shop or shopping with me in Paris next year. First things first, have you visited the new Parisian Farm Girl shop? I am now featuring everything you've come to love about Parisian Farm Girl style, from plaid to antique transferware dishes. This month, I will be restocking with treasures from my trip to the Paris flea market, so visit every Friday as new items are added, from oil paintings to copies of some of your favorite dresses you've seen me wear. And while you're there, you'll also find details on how to secure your place on one of my 2024 trips. In April and October of next year, I'll be taking small groups of people to Paris for the flea marketing trip of a lifetime. But don't wait, because some of those weeks are almost sold out. So visit ParisianFarmGirl.com and click My Shop to find beautiful pieces to decorate your home and details about the Paris Flea Market Tours. That's ParisienneFarmGirl.com and click My Shop.
Home cooks, listen up. We've all got to cook, and sometimes that's a bit boring and hard. There's no escaping the demands that come from our kitchens, whether we're cooking for one or many. So let's make it fun, nourishing, and delicious. I want to personally invite you right now to join the Elliott Homestead cooking community with me, Shay. You can visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com to get started. As a cooking community member, you're going to get 5 whole food, nourishing, and inspired recipes each month, created from scratch in my own kitchen and delivered straight to you. I'll also send you an instructional video to go along with each recipe so that you can learn new skills and begin to enjoy new dishes and flavors. The cooking community is a place of inspiration and community where you can visit with other home cooks on our circle group, or simply enjoy the bountiful recipes that you'll find each month in your mailbox or inbox. Visit cook.theelliotthomestead.com right now. Choose the membership package that's right for you, and let's get cooking. Let's talk sexy, simple, luxurious natural skincare. That's right, I'm talking about Tubes & Co. If you think that natural skincare has to come at the cost of results, we invite you to visit tubesandco.com and use their incredible skincare. Use code FALLBEAUTY for 10% off. Emily Tubes began this family-run company because she believes that skincare products that nourish and restore can come from simple, wholesome ingredients. That means ingredients like cold-pressed olive oil and organic grass-fed tallow. Emily formulates her skincare with real ingredients without the use of synthetic chemicals, toxins, fillers, artificial colors, or fragrances. Their products are made in the USA, and all the ingredients are sustainable and fair trade with transparent and ethical sourcing. Skincare products should nourish our skin without having to impart hormone-disrupting toxins. But don't just take my word for it. Visit tubesandco.com, click the skincare tab, and just read through the raving reviews. Homemakers just like you love the Tallow Balm, French Clay Soap, and Glow Serum. Visit tubesandco.com, shop organic skincare, and use the code FALLBEAUTY for a 10% discount.
These people cannot... I'm like, look, you keep a towel on the counter. If you're going to slice an onion or something with my knife, you wipe it off, because they're carbon steel. Yeah. You cannot just let it sit there with moisture on it. There has been a lot of screaming in the last 6 weeks since I got back from Paris, trying to explain to these people, mm-hmm. either don't use my new knives or wipe them off.
Treat them nicely.
This is why there's a towel right here. Mm-hmm. They cannot have moisture if there's you look at them wrong and they rust. If you don't know what I'm talking about, carbon steel, it has a beautiful patina. They're supposed to look kind of mottled and gorgeous, but you can't leave them wet or else they rust.
When we did our Food Network pilot, they took all my knives and gave me all these weird ones. I was like, I can't use these knives. I don't know them. You know, your knives
you become really intimate, like with the way they feel, and
you have very specific ones for very specific things, and they're very these ones look gross. And I'm like, no, they don't.
They don't look gross. Loved. They look like European kitchen. They look loved.
Yeah. Different aesthetics. But you know,
it was funny in Paris when I bought them, like they switched to English. They're like, you know, this is carbon steel, right? I'm like, I know it's carbon steel. Thank you. I know they're high maintenance. Yeah. I love them.
Yeah. It's funny how that can be a deterrent for some people, and for others, it's exactly what they're looking for.
Yeah, that's exactly what they were worried that I didn't know what I was doing. I'm like, no, I got this. They're so beautiful.
That's really fun. Well, Tony suggests evaluating all of your pots and pans. So pulling it all out, including woks, roasting pans, stock pots, frying pans. Really think about each item and decide how often you use it. If it's pretty, but you never use it, put it in the donate pile. I'm not sure I agree with that, Tony. I have some look pots, a few of them. Okay. I don't.
You've seen Tony's house. She's more. Yes. She's more pragmatic. She's more and pragmatic practical than you and I are. Yeah.
If it's burnt, deeply scratched, especially, don't use nonstick. Just get rid of them, you guys.
Oh my gosh, you guys! I'm gonna put like a 20 link years ago
below the show to Maiden's stainless steel pans. You don't want them. You know what? I've actually thought about doing a video on this, and I'm not sure I'm ready to come out yet. Not sure I'm ready to come out of the closet. I'm actually preferring my stainless steel a lot more than my cast iron. And I'll tell you why. Because apparently I'm old and my elbow hurts. And so when I have to lift my super heavy cast iron skillets,
tennis elbow.
I'm cooking. Oh, it hurts. Listen, your tennis everything elbow. I do in a 18-inch cast iron because it's a family of six. Okay? I'm not using the cute little one. I'm doing 12 eggs at a time. And it's so heavy that 12. I find myself going for my stainless steel. And Maiden's, like with Barkeeper's Friend, it polishes up so beautifully. If you let it heat up on the over your flame, let it heat up before you add your oil, it is completely nonstick. No issues. Yeah,
people don't quite understand.
They don't know how to use whole, like, stainless
when
steel.
To heat, how to heat.
They don't know how to use it. But yeah, I know it's like this whole homemaker, homesteady thing. Like, oh, we love our cast iron. We love our cast iron. We love our cast iron. I'm like, I also love my stainless steel. You heard it.
Yeah, I love my cast iron. Steel. But I'm to the point now where I have to like get a pot holder.
That's what I'm saying. I have to use two hands.
I have to do two hands because it hurts my tennis elbow so bad.
I went to the chiropractor yesterday and he was like, what are you doing to your forearm?
I don't know.
He's like, this milking is the tightest
and then carrying
forearm
the bucket up to the
I
house
have ever felt. I was like, I don't know. Yeah. Chopping, typing, writing, milking, chopping some more, scrubbing dishes. Yeah. Like, which task would you like?
Yeah.
So they're just so much lighter.
Did he do that like thing like where they zap?
Yeah, and
it
made like me cry. That. Like it just was shooting neurons up my.
Well, that's too higher than they
no,
need
no,
to
no,
lower
just
it.
Adjustments. Actually, he adjusted my elbow and adjusted my wrist, and it was like.
No, mine, he puts these, like, pads on it.
Oh, no, not that.
And, like, it makes your, like, it makes your, it fixes it. It's amazing.
Oh, there you go. Okay, maybe I need to find it.
Because I had some nasty tennis, you know how I got tennis elbow? I got it 6 years ago before we moved here from the packing gun, the tape gun. Knee, and my arm's never been the same. Yeah.
Mine was from making sausage when we butchered those three pigs in one day. And my shoulder and my
elbow that was awful.
Have never been the same ever since that day. And it's something I have to manage now. And like, I love my, I'm just, every time, I mean, I'm not kidding you guys. Every time I bring out my stainless steel pan, I just, there are things I do not take for granted. I don't think I have ever gotten into my bed at night without saying, thank you, Jesus, for this bed. Mm. Thank you for a safe, warm place to be. And every warm shower, every single shower, I'm like, I can't believe I get to take a warm shower. This is amazing. Like there are certain things that just stick in my mind like that. And this might sound so silly, but I feel so grateful for my pants. They make me so happy.
You know, what's really sad is before I had a clue about cooking or anything, I don't know, 15 years ago, 12 years ago, like before I really started on like my journey. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like to how to hold a knife or anything, just anything. Like I could cook, but like whatever. I had two beautiful stainless steel pans from Williams Sonoma and I murdered them. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to clean them. I didn't know how to heat them before, like you said, heat before the oil. And I got rid of them. I was so mad that when I discovered cast iron, I was like, well, getting rid of these. And it's so sad because they were like really good pans.
I have shame over a few of the things that because of my ignorance, have ruined. I didn't know.
I have some
I was like, hey,
shame.
Remember it's... that thing? You didn't do a good job of taking care of that thing.
Yeah. Or just even technique. When I look back, I'm like, sometimes I love my cookbook. I think it's beautiful. I look back, I'm like, wow, you were just like a little noob, weren't you? Like, bless your heart. Like, it worked, but bless your heart. Yeah.
Yep. That's interesting. Well, there you go, ladies. There's a little bit of incentive for you to go and assess your pots and pans. And I would add to Tony's thing too, like if you have a place where you can store some of your ones, like I have a huge stock pot. I mean, you could fit a child in that thing. I don't need it every day.
Like a tamale pot.
Yeah. It's like, put it away.
Yeah.
Bring it out when you need it. Like, don't have it in your kitchen. So I think if I don't touch it during the week, it doesn't belong in my kitchen. It needs to go somewhere else. If I'm using it twice a month, every 6 weeks, seasonally, it needs to live somewhere else. So a tub in your garage.
It's like a cocktail dress. It doesn't need to hang in the main lineup.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Tuck it away.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
You know what I would love to have? I don't know where I'd put it logistically now that I have my baker's rack. Did you do Downton Abbey or no, Shay?
Part. When Sybil died, I was like, you know what?
No.
I'm done with this crap. I'm too emotionally invested. It broke my soul. She died.
Okay, that's like crapping out on like episode 3.
Well,
okay.
I don't care.
Anyways.
It's made me sad.
Mrs. Patmore has like one of those towers that she puts all her cast iron stock pots on. Like, I want one of those towers.
Yes.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking
about. What are they
about?
Called? And I want one.
I don't want
some chintzy one. I want
that's the problem.
One that could kill a person if it fell on them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I looked into them and it was like, oh, the ones that will kill a person, those are like $400. And it was going to hold like three things. And I'm like, well, I've got like 12 things.
Oh.
I have six Dutch ovens in my kitchen.
Hers is like, hers is like,
Yeah.
That's what I want. Like a Dutch oven pyramid.
Yeah.
Obelisk.
Yeah. You can find them online, but I think the most I've ever seen one hold is six. I don't know.
Okay.
I couldn't justify the space. Maybe that was wrong. Mm. Maybe someone can steer me in the right direction. Because the cast iron Dutch ovens are heavy. They're heavy.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, again, two hands, tennis elbow, old lady joints here.
Right.
So, something to think about.
Right.
Because, anyway. I could talk kitchenware. I really.
Right.
Get a little passionate.
When I brought my knives, I was so happy. I went over to the store one day, last time we were there, and I just didn't check Google and they were closed and I was devastated. And it's just like green and yellow and the copper's in the window. And you're like, Julia, child, this was where she shopped. Mm-hmm. You're just nerding out. I'm like, and it's like on a side of town that's like near nothing that I would go to. Right. And so then I had to go back the next day and it was cold and freezing rain. And I had left I got my guests all situated at the Eiffel Tower, did their thing, did their champagne. I'm like, okay, now we're going to all go our separate ways. I am going to the cooking store. And so it's like, I got an Uber because it's just across town. It was just terrible. And they still weren't open. They didn't open till 1. So I had lunch at this cafe by myself, waited. I'm picking up my knives. They're like, you know, this is carbon steel. Yeah, it's carbon steel. They like wrap each one in tissue. They put a cork on the end of it and they wrap it in this yellow tape. And when you, what's today?
December.
When you watch my
Christmas
tour video, at the very end, I tour my kitchen and I saved the tape like ribbon and it's in my, I have a kitchen tree with copper and forks and knives and garlic heads and stuff in it. And so I saved like the little ribbon from the store. And
put sweet.
It in my
That's
in my
sweet.
Tree. But the family was pretty giddy about these knives because we had this mangy old bread knife. And when we got back from Paris and I made my first loaf of bread, I like cut into it and I'm like,
like, is this
I'm
how
like, everybody
the other
get
half
in line?
Lives?
This is how they so seriously the whole family got in line and like everybody cut a slice of bread with this knife. They're like, this is amazing. It actually cuts.
Yep.
Like, because I
knives,
oh my gosh,
such
so
a
great
difference. So that's what we're going to be doing for entertainment. Polishing our
playing
copper
our
and playing with our sharp knives,
our carbon steel knives. Right?
Listening to live music and attending plays. I think we're officially 70
nerds. 70,
listening to history podcasts.
Wouldn't that be funny if we got those guys on the show?
Oh, it would be a hoot. I would talk to them about the history of homemaking.
The history of homemaking.
I would.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll message them on Instagram.
Yeah.
See if I can get their attention. Hello.
I can't imagine the, I actually can't decide if it's just a lifetime's worth of knowledge in their cranium or if they do a ton of research.
Oh, I think they because do a ton the way of research.
But if you listen to that fashion one where they're just like making references, one says this mm-hmm. and then the other one references that, mm-hmm. either they have like amazing retention during that research or, I mean, mm-hmm. it's just like rolling out. It's incredible.
Such fun, good stuff over there. All right. Good. Well, we might not have covered all our bases, but hopefully that at least gives you. Go I listen wanted to Pink talk Martini. About
I think we killed it.
Listen to the rest Napoleon, of history Pink podcast. Martini, Rink, the rest read of history. Monte Cristo with me. The Count of Monte Cristo. We'll finish in 2026.
Dante, River God and the Seventh Scroll. Yeah.
And organize your pots and pans.
Makes total sense.
We're doing it for the people, but you're the people too, you know?
Well, again, that's what I said when we picked this subject. I said it has to also be about us as the homemaker. We can't just, I don't want people to feel like we're like the martyr show. Like, let's just serve. Serving is beautiful.
Yeah.
But when you invest in yourself, it does give you some fuel to go invest in other people. So.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's good stuff. All right, ladies. We're going to be back here next week with the season finale.
Boom.
Before we take 2 weeks off for the holidays. So make sure you tune in. And a huge thank you. A lot of you have been sharing Homemaker Chic podcast with your sister, your mom, friends who you think will like the show. That means a lot to us. And we said this last week, but it bears repeating. Your support of our advertisers means the world to them, and it means the world to us. It's what keeps Homemaker Chic on the air. So if you need some last minute sheets, if you need a new rug, if you need some Tubes makeup or whatever it is, go shopping.
Lip balm from Tubes.
Yeah. Stocking stuffers.
New washcloths from American Blossom before your guests come. Come on.
Yes. Yeah. Go have fun, and we'll see you back here next Monday.
You know what I think they should do? Why don't you message us over on Instagram if you have a question or something you want us to close out our season finale with. Go. We'll make it a listener-supported episode. So you tell us what you want us to talk about and we'll do it. Send us a direct message over on Instagram at Homemaker Chic Podcast.
Okay, there you go. Ladies, we'll see you next week. Cheers.
All right, cheers.